In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You're advised that any views expressed by the hosts or their guests are not necessarily the views of Tugy Entertainment or its partners.
You are very inappropriate.
I like being inappropriate.
Broadcast is entertaining.
Come on, if I can't mess with you, this is not going to be fun.
Broadcast is thought-provoking.
That is a riveting revelation, Ms. Goldman.
Broadcast is unexpected.
Who do you like better, the person that people think you are or the actual you?
Oh, God.
Because they're nothing alike.
Broad topics, broad minds, broad hosts, but not just for broads.
We are man-friendly. I hope to be.
I am man-friendly. I can't say the same about Kim. Wait, that sounded bad.
This is Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal.
Well, hello, Kim Goldman.
Hi, what's happening?
We're having some major technical difficulties tonight.
This is going to be weird. There's a weird delay. I can't look at you.
This is like broad. I almost said broadcast news. Do that? It's like the movie Broadcast News, but broadcast. Anyway, how's it going?
So I'm good. I'm glad I put deodorant on today because I'm sweating right now.
I know, because our mics are not exactly working correctly. So anyway, let's just get right to it because we won't bore people with our dramatic antics around here. So let's talk about some interesting stuff. I'm just going to get right to it.
I think you should. Go, baby, go.
Can we talk about Morgan Freeman? Have you heard this?
I did. So he's marrying his daughter?
No. That's disgusting. No, he's not marrying his daughter. Come on, Kim. He's Morgan Freeman. He's marrying his step-granddaughter.
He's putting Woody Allen to shame, ain't he?
Seriously. I mean, it's like, you know, the daughter, the, you know, adopted daughter of your loved, longtime love is not enough. Apparently, he met his ex-step-granddaughter because he and his wife split after, allegedly after she found out that he was having an affair with her granddaughter, who they're getting married. She's 27, and the word on the street is that they've been together for like a decade.
Really?
So if you do the math, that's pretty creepy.
It's pretty gross is what that is. And he's old.
I know. I think there should be a rule in Hollywood that, like, if you play God, you're totally not allowed to be creepy. You know what I mean? It's just like I can't watch him like play God ever again.
Well, now I'm gonna be watching the Penguins in a whole nother fashion now.
He's not into Penguins, just young girl. So,
who knows? What, you know, first with the young girls and then the Penguins. You never know. It's a slippery slope.
That's very, very true. speaking of
slippery
crazy
slope.
Celebrities.
Yeah.
Slippery slopes and crazy celebrities. My favorite story ever, which I have to say I do not condone stalking by any way, shape, or form. However, you know it's a bad day when Alec Baldwin goes to the police calling you crazy. Which apparently a woman was arrested for stalking Alec Baldwin. I'm like, wow. I mean, that's gonna be like a bucket of crazy if crazy Alec Baldwin is calling you crazy.
I know, but I guess as the story unfolds, it's interesting because he apparently dated her or had relations, Clinton version relations, with her, right? And then he broke it off or didn't want to see her anymore or something, and then she went nuts when he got engaged to a young yoga girl.
Oh.
Right?
I didn't read all that part. I just
yeah, apparently he finally just admitted. The woman, Genevieve Saborin, she's 40 years old. She claims that they were lovers and that they've had sex and that she wanted to have his baby and that she's been secretly sending him all these emails. And then I guess after he announced his engagement to the Latina beauty.
Are those your words?
Yeah, no, that's not my word.
Here, wait for it. Ready? That's hilarious. Get it?
I did. That was pretty good right there.
For those of you who don't know, his fiance's name is hilarious.
Hilarious.
Which is almost funny.
It is almost hilarious. So apparently, after he announced that he was engaged is when she sort of went ballistic, and she was pushing him to get married. She wanted to have his baby, and then she started showing up at his apartment, and she was calling the 30 Rock offices like relentlessly, and so he had to change his number. All this weird, crazy stuff.
Wow. You think they'll put that in the show?
Well, I just wonder, is Alec Baldwin really all... Actually, let me tell you, I met Alec Baldwin one time, and he was lovely, and he offered... This is very funny. He offered my kid candy, and it was always a joke. I'm like, don't you know you don't offer candy to kids? My son was like, Mommy, what do I do? I'm like, it's okay.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You're totally Morgan Freeman, though. Sorry. See what I did there? That is kind of weird, though. It's like how you called him lovely, and then you're like, yeah, the strange man totally offered my kid candy.
Well,
but it's okay, because I've seen him on TV.
Well, but that's the thing. He was lovely. I can't remember if it was right before or right after he was on that audio tirade with his daughter and the voicemail and all that stuff. I think it was,
right.
He was on the show, I was on, did something with Larry King, and we were in the green room together, and he was very nice. And, you know, very soft-spoken and very humbled and just really laid back. And then he pulled out a wad of candy. It was a little weird.
But he was ready for it. So.
Don't trust
were you
anybody.
Single at the time like you are now?
See how I did that? yes, I was single. And you know my funny story about being single and Larry King? Did I ever tell you this? That Larry King think it's a total waste. And so he always tries to set me up. He used to hit on me, but then once he got married, he tried to start setting me up, and that was just, epic fail.
Wow, that's good. I mean, to have the Larry King connections in your court with dating, I'm not really sure. The people that Larry King knows, I don't know that you want to go there. But anyway.
No,
who else can we, let's talk about Ashley Judd.
All right. So,
someone's got an opinion.
No, because I actually got a little frustrated with the whole Ashley Judd, and I'm not sure that we're gonna. I mean, I guess we can always go into the break with it, but so you want to do the backstory? So Ashley Judd slapped the media for some comments in the last couple weeks, I guess, that called her out for having a puffy face. And apparently on some op-ed piece, I don't know exactly where it was printed first, but this website called The Daily Beast picked it up and ran her entire op-ed piece, which she basically went to town on the media. And she, at first, you know, she sounded really intelligent and very, you know, used a lot of big words, which always makes people sound... Right? Right? I mean, and then she was talking about, you know, patriarchy and feminism, and then I got really confused because she was pontificating. See what I'm going to do? I'm going to start using some big words. She was pontificating about how, like, the media is always so negative towards women, and it sexualizes them, and, you know, they're constantly nitpicking about their bodies and their faces and you know, just always judging and criticizing their appearance, and she's sick of it. But because she's, you know, she's at one with her creator, this is in the article, she lets it all go. She doesn't bother with it. She doesn't read anything about herself in the media. She lets it all go, except when they called her a blowfish, basically. And then she decided to go nuts. And this two-page article, she basically defended for, like, the last handful of years every time someone made a comment about her looks. She just went off and she defended herself. I'm like, well, she just blew her wad. I mean,
no, but I think what I read was that she actually chose a date, which I believe was March 20th. And if you look at people's reports of her on March 20th, like, everybody had something different to say about her appearance that day.
No, this one, you know, right here. This one says she outlines 5 different times that she's talking about her weight. One thing it just says in general, well, she made one analysis as of March 20th, but then the other ones that she refers to don't seem to fit that same day, because this one says, when I had gained weight going from my usual size 2 and 4 to 6 and 8 after a lazy 6 months of not exercising, I'm called a cow and a pig. And I better watch out because my husband is looking for a second wife. That has nothing to do with the March 20th thing. There's another comment in here that talks about her wrinkles and her lack of wrinkles, and that she doesn't have any visible wrinkles, and so therefore she must have work done. That has nothing to do with the March 20th incident. So she basically went on to defend all of the accusations that had been lobbied against her for however long.
Oh, I see what you're saying, but she doesn't actually read the stuff, but she yet had all these examples.
Yeah, and it's been bugging her, it sounds like. And so she used this flowery email to, like, defend it all for the last couple. That's how I read it. And so, honestly, it's by the end of it, I'm like, wah, wah, wah. Like, I mean, and then this whole thing about patriarchy, and she writes in here, patriarchy is not men. Patriarchy is a system in which both men and women participate. Well, I thought patriarchy was... man leaders, a society that, right?
Maybe I should pull out my thesaurus.
Well, here, a patriarchal society is one whereby men are the decision makers and hold positions of power and prestige and have the power to define reality in common situations. And then she goes on to say something about feminism. I'm like, well, what way do you want it? Because I'm just very confused. If she doesn't really care, what's the point of this whole article to defend everything that's ever been said against her? Why not just stick with the why do we have to objectify women? Why do we have to base everything that women do based on their body and their boobs and their wrinkles? Like, stick there. That's a great argument. But when she goes into herself and defends herself the whole time, for me, it just it diffused her argument.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Well, I got out of it, at least, you know, I have to admit, I can admit it here now because there's, what, like three people listening. But that was a joke. You can laugh at that one. that she was speaking for, you know, all women and what we do as a society. And I do understand and respect her for calling it out that, like, I mean, it's ridiculous. One day someone's fat. One day Miley Cyrus is anorexic. One day she's this. So-and-so ate a burger. It's like people in the public eye, it's kind of ridiculous how much, because there are so many people who follow that, and it's like, oh, if Ashley Judd's puffy. I mean, come on, if Ashley Judd's puffy, I'm like downright like leader of the blowfish. But I appreciate.
Well, I'm going to start calling you Hootie, and I want you to finish your thought because in 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1, we're going to go to break. But while we're on break, Hootie, I think that we should continue this because I think it brings a bigger issue. So stay tuned, my friend.
Let's talk.
Broadcast. We'll be right back. What's ideal for you? Really, what's ideal for you? Being who you are, doing what you love, and getting out and about with friends. What's ideal for you? With your host, Janice Christopher, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network. And it all starts with Janice doing just that. Then being open, curious, authentic, and living her life on a quest to discover everything that could possibly make life ideal. Check out the website, whatsidealforyou.com. Studies have shown that 80% of Americans, and probably everyone else too, dislike their work. 80%. The mission then is to turn that passion statistic around. To show how it is possible to live your passions and make a living. Or live your passions so that you'll be able to mush through your job until you can change it and watch life's magic begin to happen. It's What's Ideal for You with your host, Janice Christopher, Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Booyah! That's the word uttered when you know you have the upper hand or you're the winner. Well, now, we have the Booyah Radio Hour with Martin Brassey, Tuesdays at 9, 8 Central on TogiNet.com. Martin's show is all about helping speakers and authors find their niche, create their brand, and achieve massive success. Each week, Martin will interview guests from around the world who have achieved tremendous success as speakers and authors. You'll find out who they are, what they do, and how you can follow in their footsteps to achieve incredible results. Guests will come from around the world of business, entertainment, finance, the arts, and sciences. Nothing is off topic. No subject too taboo. We'll share valuable information as well as huge laughs as we discover the ups and downs of being a successful speaker and author. The Booyah Radio Hour with Martin Brassey. Tuesdays at 9, 8 Central on TogiNet.com. listening to Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal. Two broads with faces made for radio.
Hello. We're still here.
Nobody disconnected us.
I know. Oh, my gosh. So, seriously, if you had any idea what the technical issues were going on tonight, you'd be, like, very impressed with us. Anyway,
why? So, because we're like MacGyvered our studios.
We totally did.
That's the third time I've used MacGyver in one day.
Really?
Yeah.
A little 80s. All right, so back to Ashley for a few minutes. By the way, we would love to hear from our peeps tonight. 877-864-4869. Again, 877-864-4869. So, you know, I agree with you in the whole, like, big words, and you know, she sometimes writes things that go over my head.
Yeah.
But I did appreciate that she was talking about I'll quote her, news outlets with whom I do serious work, such as publishing op-eds about preventing HIV, empowering poor youth worldwide, and conflict mineral mining in Democratic Republic of Congo.
Right.
All ran this story without checking with my office first for verification or offering me the dignity of the opportunity to comment. It's an indictment of them that they would even consider the content printable and that they, too, without using time-honored journalistic standards, would perpetuate... Okay, this... Why can't she talk like a normal?
Right. That's what I'm saying, but why now? Why was it the puffy face that blew... I mean, for me... It wouldn't be the puffy face. It would be the one that says I'm fat and I'm old looking. But like,
I think because she says that she had like a horrible infection and
right.
that she was on steroids, and maybe she's just feeling vulnerable. I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying.
Or maybe she has a new show and she needs to be in the public eye, and it's a good time to fight.
Or maybe there comes a point where she's sick of it, and it's okay to be like above it all and try not to read everything. Trust me, I've been there. I mean, I don't nearly have the same.
Oh my gosh, have any of you ever Googled Kim?
Oh, shut it. So
there was some crazy stuff.
Okay, so but my point is that I understand that she's maybe sick of being ridiculed and being, you know, judged for every imperfection. But for me, I guess my point was stick to the argument, which is don't object. You don't hear articles like this about men. You don't see, you know, the media going after a man saying, "Oh, looks like he's put on a few pounds this week." I mean, you don't.
Right.
Men are not treated in the same fashion that women are in that regard. And I think she has a valid point. But to go off in this whole thing about patriarchy and you know, feminism and blah, 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 and her wrinkles and, oh, and then she says, oh, it's the backhanded compliment. Can't I just look good for my age? Like, well, there's her vanity peeking
yeah.
through.
Well,
and that's what I'm saying, that, like, it lost its fervor for me
right.
when she kept, you know, the comment about if I don't lose the weight, my husband's gonna start looking for other women, and what, can't I just be what I am? And it was all this defensive behavior, and I guess that's where I got frustrated, because by the end I'm like, oh, stop your whining. I mean, that's how I felt.
Right.
And I was buying her argument all the way through.
Between the words that you couldn't read.
Yeah. Well, then I kept having to spot check them and, you know, like, use my word of the day. Toilet paper so I could figure out what half the words were, which, again, I appreciate. I think that she did a good thing. I think, you know, but then Miley Cyrus comes out today saying, I'm not anorexic, and Jessica Simpson and her body image, and, you know, I mean, everybody, like, I get it. I mean, you are subjected constantly to ridicule and objectification, and it's terrible, and I can't imagine being in a celebrity shoes where they're constantly having to have thick fat skin, perhaps.
No, thick and thin skin.
Yeah.
Apparently you have to pull off both.
Yeah.
That's simultaneously.
Yeah. And if you're not, I mean, there's always going to, you know, I don't envy her position. I don't know. It felt like she was finally had reached her maximum output in terms of her input, you know, in terms of what she was willing to take. And
right.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think that...
And then she kept capitalizing the word conversation in her article. Did you see that? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The conversation. I'm like, what? Is this a new...
Wow.
Yeah, she just kept referring to it as the conversation.
But maybe that's the name of her show.
That, well,
I'm kidding. So yeah. How about your boyfriend there, Rick Santorum?
So, yeah, he finally decided that women are not the demise of our country. Maybe he got enough... tampon sent to him in the mail.
I think I heard a collective, like, you know,
sigh.
Uteri everywhere rejoicing that he had backed out and that all of our uteri are safe. And we can now take them out of the jars and put them back in our bodies.
That's hilarious. That's pretty good. You've been working on that one.
Well, apparently he knows all of it. So I read something about him spending more time with family. What is that?
There's some debate because he has a daughter that is ill. And that I guess she's taken a turn for the worse. However, some of the reports that I read that she's always been really sick. I don't know how much truth there is to it,
right.
But apparently she's always been sick. But there was a comment on one of the pages that said that on one of the articles in response to Santorum that said that he was putting his own I think it was a misquote, but I had to keep reading it. Let me see if I can pull it up real fast. So what do you think about him dropping out? Do you think it's a fraud that because what's his face is going to beat him?
You heard it here first, people. What's
I'm so
face?
Over it. Is Newt still running?
No wonder why Ashley's articles are over your head. She calls the presidential candidate, what's his face?
No, there's so many. Is Rosie O'Donnell still running? what's her face? What is her name?
Newt Gingrich.
Roseanne.
Roseanne,
is she still running? No,
I thought you were confusing Newt Gingrich for Rosie O'Donnell.
They're one and the same. So, Republican National Committee Chairman Reen C. Priebus has responded to Santorum's decision by saying this. This is very confusing to me. Today, Senator Santorum has made a commendable decision. He has decided to put his country, party, and desire to defeat President Obama ahead of any personal ambition. I applaud his decision and congratulate him on the campaign he has run. Doesn't that mean behind? Am I missing something?
Wait, say that again?
He said that he has made a commendable decision. He has decided to put his country, party, and desire to defeat President Obama ahead of any personal ambition.
Because he can't beat him. So he's putting his country ahead because otherwise Obama would win.
Oh, so he's saying
instead of his own personal ambition, he's going for what she's saying, what's right for the country.
So then that doesn't support his decision to leave then, because he says that he was leaving because his daughter was gravely ill.
Right? It depends on what you read and who you read.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was slightly confused, but then, there's the comments are that it's because Romney's got an edge against on him, and he doesn't want to humiliate himself, and he doesn't want to worry about not winning, and so he's bowing out and blaming his family, and so now there's people that are pissed at him for that.
There was no way he was going to win, and he knows that, And now Romney's free to. Otherwise, the Republican Party was just completely. Split. There was absolutely no way that they were going to have. That's the best thing. If they expect anybody to go up against Obama, that's strategically, I would say, the right thing to do.
But do you think that it's fair then that he used his daughter as?
Did he use his daughter, or did a media outlet use his daughter? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not in the business of defending Santorum. I just,
I don't know. Does he have to approve
with that part of his quote?
But does he have to approve his messages? I mean, at some point there has to be some discussion about whether or not he is able to pull his family into his. He says we sat around the kitchen table when we decided to, when I decided to run, and then now he's saying he wants to spend more time at home. I mean, I don't know. There's a part of me that, I guess would say that maybe he's admitting defeat and he wants to pull out. No pun intended. Before. it's too late, and now it leaves the door wide open for Romney, which is great news for the Obama fans in the audience.
You think?
I think there's a lot of people and that don't believe that Romney has a chance to beat Obama. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought the opposite with some. If a state like Massachusetts, elects Romney as governor, I think that he can win people over. I think a lot. Even more easily than Santorum. That's my personal opinion.
I don't know. I part of me, like I said, I don't even care until it counts because we don't have a say in this part, and none of us here on the West Coast can vote in the primaries, and So, you know, it's not really up to us anyway until it gets to the point where there's actual, you know, an actual run for office. I don't know. My feeble little brain.
I can't believe, like, it feels like the election should be over at this point, and yet we are just kind of beginning. So,
yeah, I feel like it's been going on forever. This is like Titanic. That movie just never ends.
Apparently, and then when it does, it comes back in 3D.
Oh my God. I got to tell you, my son wanted to watch it. We tried over the weekend, and I was like,
Why are people so in love with that story?
I don't know. So,
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go. I mean, I'm king of the world. Like, oh my gosh.
Now we got to hear that all over again.
I'll never let go. It's like, just go. Like, at that point, I'm a little tired of you guys. Let go.
Okay, so I did a little trivia. So I wanted to know if any of the characters from the movie were actually real life people. And there's only one person that I found, because I looked over the passenger list. This is how bored I was over the weekend.
You mean characters that were played.
Right, did I miss
Not actors, like they're...
Oh, sorry, yeah.
We are robots.
That old lady, I mean, she could have been. But no, the characters that were played in Titanic, I was curious if any of the characters were, taken from real-life stories. And there was. There was one woman, and she was played by... Misery. What's the woman that stars?
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates. Her character, Molly Brown. She was the new money. She was the billionaire. She was on the
Titanic.
That's
the one.
That's the only one that I could find.
That's interesting.
Uh huh. The only one that I could find. I mean, there's a lot of people that were on that ship.
But you remember what went down with that ship was James Cameron's marriage, because he was like having an affair with the actress who played the old lady. Well, yeah, the old lady. Totally. She's hot.
Wait, he was having an affair with the actress?
No, with the one who played the old lady when she was younger.
No, the old lady when she was younger was Kate Winslet. Rose.
Who was the other?
I don't know. We need to IMDb that.
Oh, see. I need to watch the movie before I talk about it.
No, let's not watch the movie again. I do not need to do that.
877-864-4869. We want to hear what you guys want to talk about this week. Because I'm kind of tired of hearing from us today.
Really? I think we're fascinating.
We are fascinating. Who else can we talk about? What else can we talk about?
Okay, so I don't remember if we got to this last week, but the whole issue with Trayvon Martin.
Yes.
Okay, so now the man that George Zimmerman.
Bring Your Dog to Work Day.
It is Bring Your Dog to Work Day.
Oh, look, say that name again. I think your dog knows he's guilty.
Why? Bring Your Dog to Work Day?
No. George Zimmerman. No, nothing. I thought maybe he was trying to tell us something.
No. Moving on. George Zimmerman has disappeared, apparently. So his lawyers dropped him. They are claiming that they cannot locate him. They have never met him. And then in shocking breaking news, he spoke secretly with Sean Hannity, apparently. But I just have to say, I know that people are up in arms about Trayvon Martin's murder, as they should be, and all of the attention that was placed on his case, you know, did allow the FBI to open up the case and pursue it, and, you know,
right.
It's now being in the grand jury's eyes, perhaps.
Without outrage, it wouldn't be happening.
Right. With that being said, though, there notoriously is a rush to judgment, always, and so now as the facts are being revealed to us, you know, there's some things that are questionable, and then you've
like
got,
what?
Well, like, did George Zimmerman sustain the injuries that he claimed he did, and someone said they didn't, and then there's video that zooms in that he did, but they're not really sure.
Right.
They can't, then there's the, you know, who's yelling help on the 911 tape, and then there's the NBC guy that altered the tape, so you're not really sure. Like, there's all the, you know, the NBC guy
inspired.
My point is that, being someone who has sat in the seat before, when the rush to judgment occurs, lots of things get messy, lots of things get lost, lots of things get misinterpreted, and then it makes for a dangerous play field because, you know, George Zimmerman now, God knows what he's going to do. Like, who knows what's going to happen to that guy? Who knows if he is selling a story? Who knows if it's being altered? I mean, I just feel like now...
And the police can't do their job.
And they've bungled everything. I mean, now I just feel like, okay, we've got it to this point. Now let's back off and let it be investigated the way that it's supposed to be without millions of people offering up their opinion, giving advice. You know, I just, this is where it just gets, it gets frustrating for me, because we don't know anything yet. We know bits and pieces, and we know that people alter those bits and pieces because of technology. And so now we just, you know, nothing, who knows what's authentic, and justice needs to be served. And it will be if we just let it be served. I mean,
right. But do you think, I mean, I think that a lot of the outrage was because this all happened and then justice wasn't being served, and it was just being swept under the rug.
Right, but so now it's not our job anymore to do anything else.
I know,
now,
but I think people are scared that if, you know, you stop squawking, that they, you know.
But what are we squawking about now? I mean, now they've got George Zimmerman.
No, they don't.
Well, I just mean they brought him in. They're
right.
Now they're doing their investigation. They're asking the witnesses to testify. I mean, to report what they've seen. You know, people are now coming out of the woodwork a little bit more about what they saw that night. But that's not for us to do anything with right now. I mean, we did our job. We did our job as a society, and we called out where we thought an injustice was. And now we have to trust the process a little bit, because there's nothing else for any of us to do unless we all become investigators.
Right. But I think that people aren't finished talking about the fact that this is what's happening right here in our country.
So then
that innocent people, I mean, that's a messed up, that innocent people can just be, you know, you could just walk up to them and shoot them and then say A, B, and C.
Right, but what my point is that that's what we're all assuming based on the initial stories, and then there are stories that maybe that's not exactly what happened.
But you forget, I mean, like, take the actual, because nobody knows what the actual facts are, but take what happened after.
Agreed.
What happened. When you have Geraldo Rivera saying something about, you know, if you wear a hood, like, oh, well, E.T. better watch his back. I'm just saying. But, like, I mean, that's ridiculous. So then our country was perpetuating this bigot. I mean, it was just, it's not just what happened to that poor boy. It's all of it that surrounded it after, and all the judgments and all the people and all the opinions. And that really says to me as much about society as the incident itself.
Right. So I totally agree with you. So what I'm saying is then let's focus on that as the issue. I mean, my assumption is now that George has gone into hiding because he, you know, there's probably
with Sean Hannity.
Well, yes. I mean,
wait, can we talk about that for a minute?
Sean Hannity.
Yes. Yeah, so you know, you're in the public eye. You have a story to tell. You choose that one person, the one person you want to turn to and tell your story. Really, Sean Hannity? Really?
I don't know. Who would you pick? Who would you pick? Who would you break your story to? If you could pick any of our journalists, with my air quotes, who would you pick?
That is a good question. Do. I would pick Ricky Lake.
You would pick Ricky Lake?
I would.
And why is that?
Because I just started working for her about a week ago, and I think she's awesome.
I didn't want to say it.
So isn't that enough?
No.
The funny thing is, when I say that, that does not seem any more outrageous than, like, I would not choose your typical Barbara Walters, Oprah. I wouldn't.
And
why?
Because it's sensationalistic?
No, because I think that the act of the art of the interview, the whole the way they started years and years ago, and actually being somewhat invested. I mean, you can't be that invested after all those years, in my opinion. But I just think that you don't have that real connection anymore. And I think if I had a story to tell, I would want to tell it to somebody who I feel I could trust with my vulnerability and my emotion in that moment.
And you don't think that's Oprah? I have turned you! One by one, people.
You are my only friend who's ever told Oprah off on the air. But
no, I don't disagree.
Smile, but I mean, you know, I have to say, I've been listening to, now that I'm commuting, I've been listening to Oprah's Life Class and other things going on XM, and there's a lot of, I actually will say I like the work that she's doing now,
right?
The stuff that she's doing out of, like, it seems
an authentic place.
Yeah, like where she wants to be in her life and the things that, and the people she wants to learn from and all that. And I don't necessarily think you can do that on network TV. It's too spiritual. It's too, you know, and
what, her work is too spiritual?
Yeah, I think that the stuff that she's doing in this life class and things like that, like, I just don't think it would fly. Like, I mean, please, you know, like, when you talk about network TV, they're not looking for, like, these empowering, life-changing stories that where people can leave at the end of the hour with a better sense of the world and themselves.
They can't right now, but they might in the nearby future.
Can you hear how Kim has a show to pitch?
No, but I...
Executives out there?
Well, no, but you know what? You know, being only because it has happened recently, I have a show in which what you're discussing, and it is a real-life show, and it's empowering and it's motivating, and in my opinion. And I have been told on two or three occasions in the last couple weeks that the American people want more catfish catchers, you right. know, and they want hoarders, and they want, you know, storage wars, and...
Well, they should come to my garage and get their hoarders.
But now there's hoarders, animals, I mean, it's really, it's
like the CSI of hoarding. Like, there's one in every city now.
But that's what I'm saying, and I, you know, is it really possible that our country wants that? I mean, or is it just because that's all we're given, and so that's all we, and so that's all we watch, is because that's all that's presented to us, and so we have to speak out.
I think
out.
That other things have been presented and just don't rate, sadly.
Right.
Look at our own shows.
Right.
Look at the, when we talk about things that we feel like are matter, you know, we'll get 5 million people, but when we talk about, like, you know, like one week we talked about Miley Cyrus, and we, like, tripled our numbers.
Right.
Okay, we don't really have 5 million people, but it sounded good.
4.5. Yeah,
I know. I didn't want to brag, but
because you think it's the. I mean, I think that there are people that watch television and watch those hoarders and, you know, those kinds of shows because they want to feel better about themselves by watching somebody else. You know, they're be ridiculous. You know, like, or learn how to catch fish with your teeth. You know, I mean, I think. You know, I don't know. That, to me, is not exciting, although I will be the first one to sit down and watch the I Shouldn't Be Alive shows. But those, for me, are empowering shows about survival and,
right,
you know,
right.
resiliency and what people do, you know, and the power of your will to live. You know, that, to me, is exciting. But watching somebody die for fish?
Right.
Really? I mean...
Yeah, I'm not into that. But I will say, going back to my new job as
yes.
executive editor of the website of the Ricky Lake Show, that like I watched the pilot, and for somebody like her, she was on the air for a long time. She was like 23 years old when she did her pilot for the first show, and that lasted a long time. And you know, she's been in the industry, she's been an actor, she's been on Dance with the Stars, like, but she has this like. If she walked into your house right now or walked into the studio or walked, you know, that she'd sit down and you'd just talk to her about life and there's not that extra something. Like,
right.
I just think that it's very rare. And watching the pilot, like, you know, she interviewed a guy who had lost his wife shortly after childbirth. And it's like you were there in that moment. You felt in that moment. You weren't watching an interview. Like, I felt like I was in it,
right.
you know. And she's not doing the whole, like, you know, drag queen, baby daddy thing of, you know, that was popular back in the 90s. But, you know, so I
Do you think it's because she's lived a life and she's able to draw from her experiences in order to connect with people? Or do you think it's because she kind of pops in and out of Hollywood and so she doesn't have that affected glow, you know, or that, I mean, you know, Oprah, you know, the reason why I use her is because I feel like, you know, if you're able to connect with something that she's doing in her life classes, then maybe that authentic part of her is able to kind of come out again now because she doesn't have to answer to the networks, she doesn't have to answer
to
advertisers, you know,
well,
and the celebrities. And she did that to herself in some regard, but, you know, maybe taking a back seat to some of it, you know, humbles you slightly. I mean, I don't know that she can be humble, but...
Right.
I mean,
well, I don't feel like it's Oprah that I'm connecting with when I listen to that. Like, and it's, I always listen to it on satellite radio. I don't watch it or anything like that.
Right.
But, and I think that actually makes a huge difference too, because I don't. There's not like the makeup and the, you know, all that extra, like the set and this and that. Like, I'm just listening.
Yeah.
And you know,
you don't feel manipulated by the rest. It's just
right,
her heart.
And she's kind of just like she's connecting me to these stories, and she's, you know, conduit. Like, I don't necessarily listen to it because of Oprah herself. I listen because she has access to people who have interesting stories and have really interesting things to say, you know. And I think with Ricky, you know, I think that it's two-part. I think she has lived a lot of life as an adult,
right?
That's relatable. You know what I mean? Where, I mean, she had two kids, she got a divorce, and it sounds like it wasn't pretty, and, you know, went through that, and now she just got remarried over the weekend. They eloped.
Right.
And even just reading her reasons for eloping, it was just so completely, you know, relatable to anything that we'd feel. You know, when she was worried about this person and that person, and who do you invite, and who's going to get mad, and all that. So, I'm sure she's got, you know, more money than I'll ever have. Like, but she just doesn't come across that way.
Right.
And I think, like you said, somewhat because of she's not always in the spotlight. You know, she's kind of in and out. But at the same time, when she is, I mean, like, her support on Dancing with the Stars is, like, unheard of. That was just, like, you know, as far as some of those, I mean, I don't watch the show, but it was,
yeah,
like, all your average, you know, people were just all about her. You
right.
know, they were all excited.
Well, I think she really connected with people. You know, when she talked about her weight, you know, her weight issues, and you know the battle that she had. I mean, different than Oprah. I think that, you know, she was relatable in that regard, because she was so honest about everything that she was struggling with, and I think that connects her to people. You know, in such a positive way that maybe that's why she was able to garner that respect and that.
Right. I love that she gets right in there with the audience. But we are going to be right back. We got to go to break. So,
oh, I guess I'll freshen
it. All right. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. More from the Broads when we come back.
Get ready for resources, tools, and support to help you build a successful business and live an awesome life. It's the Women's Business Success Show with your host, founder of the Association of Women Entrepreneurs, Tara McHugh. Thursdays at 11 a.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Each show will feature a special guest interview. Tara will bring you highly successful entrepreneurs sharing their stories of success. You'll hear about the challenges they faced along their journey, together with the advice they have to help you achieve more. You'll also hear from various personal and business development experts sharing tips, solutions, and strategies that you can easily implement into your business and life for amazing results. For more on Tara and her show, check out her website, aofwe.com. Then join us for the Women's Business Success Show with your host, the founder of the Association of Women Entrepreneurs, Tara McHugh. Thursdays at 11 a.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
You're listening to Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal, with topics as broad as their butts. Well, at least Jackie's.
Hello, we're back, and for our last segment. So what's up with that? Like, you know, at first it was funny, topics as broad as their butts, but now I'm starting to think I need to do something about that. Day two, man, I'm back on track, day two. And voiceover guy's not going to be able to make fun of me that much longer.
Well, I don't, why do you think that you're fat? Is that what you're thinking, that you think you're fat?
No, I have an enormous
You think you have an enormous rump?
Yeah.
Who uses the term rump anymore?
Apparently me. But we're moving on. We're moving on from that because, you know, Ashley Judd will send us hate mail.
Well, not if she's the patriarch of her new country that apparently she's going to start.
The Patriarch, isn't that her new show? So,
is that what it is?
What's that? Oh, we're having major technical issues now.
Here. Okay, wait, hold for prayer here, because I think I just tried to, I don't know what I tried to do.
Anyway.
I'm going to move on to something else. You know that Hillary Clinton apparently is texting these days?
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is that news?
I don't know if it's news. Didn't you, I don't know, did you think that was news?
Did you?
apparently it was news. I don't know. It was all over the internet that she's texting and that she's making fun of herself. And I don't know. She's got these two guys that are running this website, and she's like LOLing at people and blah blah blah. I don't have the faintest idea. This is just the new stuff. The new trend in the White House is being hip to be groove. Hip to be groove. No, we don't do that. I got nothing on that.
Keep talking, Kim.
Why? Are we working?
Oh, yeah. I'm just talking to viewers online.
Oh, I can't tell. This is horribly embarrassing, and I apologize. But our technology, as advanced as we are in our society and my family, I'm feeling like I should have a rotary phone. I don't know. Do you think we should have a rotary phone?
A rotary phone would be good. Can you hear me? Anyway.
Are we on the air, Kim? Yes, we are. All right. So, seriously, we moved studios. Let's just tell everybody. We moved studios, and that was obviously a huge mistake from a technology standpoint. So, anyway, moving on.
Yeah, sorry.
So,
I had a better excuse. I wanted to be all pretty and be so literate right there in this moment, but I was actually, my heart just went up a little.
So back to Hillary, though. Like, how old is she anyway?
Who? Hillary?
Hillary.
Clinton? I don't have any idea how old Hillary Clinton is.
Because I have to tell you, like, my mother's texting. Is your dad texting at this point?
My dad has finally begun to text. My dad used to drive me nuts by calling me constantly and would call me all day long about the most mundane, ridiculous things just because he wanted to hear my voice, which is entirely lovely. But
aww.
I know
how
this.
How can you give Fred a hard time for something like that?
I'm not giving him a hard time, but when I work all day and I'm running around with my kid and I get the house phone, then I get the office phone, and then I finally pick up because I think something's wrong, my dad's just like, hey, so did you ever get the toilet fixed?
and did you?
And that's the big news of the day. So I said to my dad, you have to be able to text so I can say, give me a minute, is everything okay? Like, I promise I won't replace our conversations with texting, but, and now my father is like a mad texter. It's hilarious.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, what kinds of things does he text?
Love you, kiss, 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 but you know he copies and pastes the kiss so that he doesn't have to keep typing it, and he's just learning how to use smiley emoticons. He's hilarious. My dad went from having a phone from the Stone Age to a droid, and he's like a kid in a candy store. Every time he's around my son, you know, my son will give him new apps to watch, to play with and downloads. Now they play with each other on the phone, and my dad's like addicted to Angry Birds. It's hilarious. Just what my father needs.
Well, you know, I saw him last time I think your son's birthday party, and he and his wife and your stepmom are certainly Angry Birds friendly, let's just say. They were loving the Angry Birds. And
well,
the word friends.
You know, but there are lots of people that are proponents of, you know, the texting and the ability to communicate that way. I mean, there's lots of kids that the only way that they can communicate with their parents is via text because that's where they feel safest. Where they feel like they can get out their emotions without, you know, getting a roll of the eyes from the parents or, you know, the back of someone's head because they're multitasking and they're not fully paying attention. So I don't entirely think that the texting avenue is so horrible. It's just when so much gets lost in translations, you know, via text or email, that the breakdown and the intimacy and, you know, some of that gets lost. But it certainly has opened up the lines of communication for so many people.
Yeah.
Hey, so I have a topic. The bullying movie. I know we have been contacted by some people affiliated with the movie, but the Bullying Project movie, you know, has been under a bunch of controversy because it was given a rated R rating, but it has now been reduced to a PG-13.
Hmm.
And it's being released this weekend, but in communities around, at least, you know, Southern California, it's not being released.
Why?
Well, I can only speak to the community in which I live because I was called by the local news to ask my opinion about it. There are two major theaters in my community, and one of which is the community that is often deemed the more artsy or creative theater, and it shows, you know, things that are off the map a little bit. And apparently, they have not been slated to release this movie.
Huh. That's sad. I mean, I have to actually see this movie before I can really obviously speak to what's in it and how, but just by other people I've talked to who've seen it, I mean, that it sounds like something very important that we all should be seeing and all should be talking to our kids about. And that's sad to live in a community, very family oriented community, and not be giving people the opportunity to see it.
Well, quite honestly, that's exactly what my quote was, that if it was really the decision was to not air because it was a business decision and they didn't step outside protocol and what they normally would do, then I guess I can't argue with it. But I feel like in some ways there may have been some concessions made in regard to this movie. And I watched the trailer and I was bawling my eyes out, and it was very touching. It was very powerful. It was straight from the kids themselves and from families that have lost children to suicide because of relentless bullying. And it was powerful. And, you know, I really felt like this was an opportunity for, you know, bringing the community together and for educating and bringing awareness to an issue that so many people are faced with. And I was really disappointed that my local theater opted not to.
Yeah, it's just disappointing.
Well, interestingly enough, my son, I was talking to him about it. I had the trailer up on my iPad, and he wanted to know what it was, and I explained it to him, and I told him it was a documentary, blah, 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 and he said, so other kids could watch it so they feel less alone?
Oh.
And I said, yeah, exactly. Like, he's 8, and he got it.
He's a sweet kid. But, you know, he also has a mom who talks to him about real topics and not just, like, these baby versions of what's actually going on. And I think, you know, we try to protect our kids so much from so much that introducing the things that really happen, so talking to them about real life challenges and issues that come up, but, you know, empowering them to make smart decisions and also reminding them that we're there no matter what, I think sets them up for success and an ability to handle things as they come, you know?
Yeah, but I'm curious as to why there are people that are against airing it. Like, what are we so afraid of? You know, I mean, are we afraid of having honest conversations and really having to battle demons that lots of people have deep inside? I mean, you know, I've never been somebody, and, you know, again, we could talk about this when we have, you know, someone on from the show, from the movie, which we're trying to get. But I always think that there are multiple layers, you know, attached to bullying and, you know, issues that people face. But I don't understand why there's this desire to shy away from a topic that is plaguing so many people around the country. Even with the rating, like, why would they, you know, what was the point of the rated R rating? I mean, I don't understand that. I mean,
well, because if you actually look at it and what happens, that amount of violence would be probably rated R on any given movie. You know, if when you consider what the film actually is, that's when you have to kind of weigh where it goes. But, I mean, that much violence, I'd be upset if I walked into a movie and it had that much violence at a PG-13 level.
Yeah, and I honestly don't know how much violence is in it. You know, in the trailer, of course, there was none. You know, there was discussion of it. You know, there was a discussion of some of the violence that was, you know, against some of these kids, but there wasn't anything visible. And again, you know, now it is brought down to the PG-13, and I definitely, you know, feel like it would be an opportunity for parents and kids and administrators and counselors, you know, to get together and watch the film and maybe do like a Q&A afterwards or do some kind of debrief, you know, that left people with resources and tools so that,
you know, they could combat the problem should they be faced with it. You know, I just think that's such a great opportunity for, you know, as Oprah would say, a teachable moment. You know.
Not for somebody who doesn't like Oprah. You sure mentioned her a lot today.
I did, right? You know what? I just want a beer. I see great. It's just all of my feelings about her is just envy.
Did you just say I secret it?
No, I certainly did not.
Oh.
I secret it.
Oh, my God, because that would be the perfect thing to say right there. But is that like you use the power of the secret to become Oprah? You visualize it.
No, I'm not a fan of the secret either.
I know this. I know this about you. Now everybody else does too. So I was looking at some of the breaking news that's coming in, and there's an AP story that a teacher fired from a Michigan middle school after encouraging students to raise money for the family of Florida teenager Trayvon Martin. So the kids asked to, let's see, she was dismissed in March from Pontiac Academy for excellence after she supported students' efforts to plan a wear a hoodie to school day. And some of the students asked, so she went to the proper channels, and apparently they said no. And apparently she encouraged them.
She encouraged them?
Yeah, and showed up at the school to drop off prizes for the students. So she says, I didn't tell the kids let's go and do it anyway, Tara said. I was actually literally in the process of talking to my kids about what we could do instead when the meeting was requested and you know, she was fired. So,
what was the reasoning for firing her? Because she was insubordinate.
Maybe it was that blatant disregard for authority. I'm not sure. Let's see.
She wanted to have a day to honor his death and by wearing a hoodie.
And raise money, yeah.
And raise money for what?
Or were they raise money for the family, yeah. So, sorry, the executive director said it was a travesty. I'm not really sure why. I'll have to check out a quote for them. We'll talk about it again next week. Can you believe our show is ending? Our little, totally messed up technologically show, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's over. Yeah, it's over.
Well, thanks for hanging in there.
That's
with
it.
All of our issues.
Have a good week. We'll talk to you next time.
This has been Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougall. For more from the Broads or to submit a topic or guest request, visit broadscast.com.